Praise the Lord. Brother Johnston, you weren't supposed to tell everybody that. It's supposed to be between me and you. I'm thankful to be here on today. It's always a blessing to be in the presence of the Lord. Scripture that's on my mind, Acts 3:19, where it says, Repent, therefore, that you may be converted, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. I'm really thankful for that. Whenever that we can come into a setting like this and be in the presence of the Lord, that we give opportunity to him, whenever we yield ourselves to him, for him to refresh us, and that we don't have to leave the same way that we came in. Amen. And I'm so thankful for that. I'll be going to Colossians 3, starting at verse 23. And it says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men." Next verse. "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." I find it funny, you know, sometimes you could quote a scripture all the time, and then you kind of forget about it. I don't mean that in a bad way, but you forget about it sometimes. And when that season comes back around, God has a funny way of bringing that to you. And I remember when I was in grade school, we used to say, Colossians 3, verse 23, every time before gym class, we used to say that all the time. And over the past few weeks, you know, we've been talking about the seeds and the harvest and everything like that, and pouring into people. And I've been thinking about, you know, I'm not planning on being a farmer or anything like that, but I know if you, like, half do something or if you miss a step, that can mess up the whole flow of, you know, plants and everything like that growing. And you may have messed up a watering or whatever the case may be. That can mess up, like, the flow of things that you expect to happen. And you look around, you're like, man, why isn't this plant growing? Because you may have messed up a step along the way, or you may have half done something. And this has been on my heart heavy, because I want to make sure that in everything that I'm doing it with everything that I have, with my whole heart. You know, if it may be ministering, it may be worship, whatever it may be, I want to make sure that I'm doing it with everything that I have. Because when I look back on it, I don't want to be like, oh man, I could have done more. I could have poured in more into that person, or I could have done more in that situation. It's really important that we, as people of God, that we do everything with our whole heart. And in the Amplified version, it says, from your soul. It comes from your soul. And so I believe that we're going into a season where we're going to come across various different types of people. We're going to talk with and be in different situations. And my prayer, and I want to make sure that when I'm encountering these people, that I'm not leaving part of myself out. You know, I'm not leaving half. I'm not giving them just a little bit of myself. I want to give them the real. I want people to keep it real with me, and I want to keep it real with them. You know, and I truly believe that God is calling us to kind of step out of our comfort zone. I don't want to be too comfortable in the situations that I'm in, because then we get kind of lazy and we start to allow things to pass over us and be like, well, that's all right. It's all good. I don't have to worry about that too much. Even when it comes to just things that we may watch or anything that we may entertain, I want to be careful, and I don't want to be too comfortable in the situation that I'm in. Can we take a moment and pray real quick? Father God, in the name of Jesus, your word is true, Father. Your robo satala la maye. Yala la mayo koraba satala la vasidia la lama. Father God, in the name of Jesus, you are so worthy. In everything that I do, I want to pour out my whole heart, Father, in the name of Jesus. I want to give you everything, Lord. In the name of Jesus, you are so worthy, Lord God. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Father. I believe that this process will stem from having a pure heart, doing everything with a pure heart. I don't want to do things and expect someone to give something back to me or expect something in return. I want to do this because this is what God has called me to do. I want to affect this person in a positive way, or whatever situation I'm in, I want to do this because this is the calling that God has on my life. And I think about Psalms 24, where David asks a couple of questions. He asks, who shall ascend into, let me look it up real quick. I don't want to quote it wrong. Psalms 24, verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? And the answer is, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. I want to make sure that I'm doing everything out of a pure heart, with clean hands. And when I do that, I know that I will receive blessings. And I'm not just doing it for that, but I know blessings will come and righteousness from the God of my salvation will come with that. And I know that if I don't do it, Matthew 5 says, if I don't do it, if I don't have a pure heart, then I won't be able to see God. Matthew 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It's important that we have a pure heart. It's important that we do what God has called us to do and obey his instructions. And obey, it's kind of what Brother Brandon was talking about last week, obeying what he has called us to do. Not for personal gain, not for accolades, not to be lifted up, but that God may be glorified and that that we may draw men unto him. If we lift his name up, we will draw God's people unto him. And I'm just thankful on today that I got to share this with you guys, and I just pray that God touches every single heart on today. And Lord, can we pray one more time? Lord God, if there's anything that's on us, any burden, Father, that's keeping us from giving 100%, Lord, I ask that you take it out. Lord, we leave every burden, everything at your feet, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, there's a will. There's something that needs to be done on this earth, Lord, and we're all called, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we give you everything. We give you our entire hearts in your precious, mighty name, Lord God.
Just keep praying for a moment. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hitalalama sitia narama kia taye. Ilararane hisotororo maha kia taye. Ilararane asitia nororoma kia taye. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We pray your will tonight, Father. Not our will, but thine be done in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I am thankful to the Lord for those that he has chosen to connect to the body, the pieces that he fitly joins and frames together. Now, I used to be the young guy around here. To Brother Berglund, I still am the young guy around here. You used to be the young guy. Time marches on. How old are you, Brandon? Or Jared? 21. How old are you, Brandon? 24. Brother Jeremiah's in the back. I think he's 25. God's raising up a generation. God doesn't miss a beat. Do you realize that? Brother Kendrick and I, Brother Heinrich, we're going over the hill. Riding off into the sunset. I'm going to be 40 really soon. But God is raising up. You know, oftentimes it becomes easy to look back. You look at things sometimes, you're like, God, what are you doing? I mean, when I was younger, you know, you're always looking ahead. When you're 20, when you're 21, you're always looking ahead. What's God got for me? What's my plan? What's my purpose? Who am I? Trying to find yourself, trying to find your identity in the kingdom. What's my place? What's my role? And then as you get older and you get more comfortable in your skin, you realize who you are. Then you start looking, well, who's coming behind me? Is anybody following me? I don't mean following me, but has anybody got a calling? Is there anybody who has a burden? Is there anybody who's responding to the voice of God in their life and beginning to pursue involvement? And I'm telling you, I mean, that was just this one. What Miko told us that, he's not 30 yet, because he turns 30 the same year I turned 40. We were having a discussion at the wedding a couple weeks ago that Brother Hart turns 50, I turn 40, and Miko turns 30 all in the same year. I think that requires our wives to send us on an exotic trip somewhere. I don't know what kind, but I voted Hawaii. Brother Hart voted like something like way out. But I'm talking about Puyallup. But you look at the Kent congregation, the Loxamanas. You look at the Sela congregation, the Flowers, other young men there that are coming up and are responding to the call of God. I'm telling you, God doesn't miss a beat. When you're in His plan and His purpose for your life and you're doing what it is that God asks you to do, and I'm talking about us as a whole. I'm not talking about us as individuals. That's important too. I'm talking about when the church is following the path that God has intended it to follow. You don't have to go recruit people. We didn't have a young ministerial sign-up committee a couple years ago. No. Brandon responded to the call of God, dedicated his life to the study of the Word of God for 4 years. God brought Jared across the country. He's beginning to commit his life to the call of God. I don't even know if he knew the call of God was on his life 5 years ago, but it's there. People have affirmed it to him, and he's living in pursuit of it. Brother Smith in the back room, responding to the call of God. Nobody signed him up. But when you look at the Gospels, Jesus didn't get men to sign a contract. He just said, listen, follow me. Right. He didn't say, now, here's this. I got this job description for you guys. No, he told them, that if you're going to follow me, the Son of Man doesn't even have anywhere to lay his head. These are high-end positions here you're applying for. And you read the stories one after another. They left their nets and they followed him. They left the tax collector table and they followed him. They just simply responded. And my heart is full tonight. I guess when you get older, you get sentimental too. My heart is full tonight at what God is doing at all levels. I appreciate the wisdom. Maybe I'm in the middle, Brother Berglund. I'm filling in the gap. But I appreciate the wisdom of ministers in Life Church, Brother Berglund, our bishop, Brother Hart, Elder Loxamana, men who've lived longer than I have, been through, seen more than I have. I appreciate their ministry. I also appreciate the ministry of us guys in the middle. What we're seeing, what we're going through, we're living in a different day than you lived in. I'm telling you, it's so different. It blows my mind. The junk I have to sit and listen to and put up with on my job, it just blows my mind. I don't know.
maybe you guys are looking back like, that's these young guns. They have no clue what they're doing. But I also appreciate looking back and listening and receiving ministry of some of these younger men who are living in this generation. They're trying to grow in this whole mess. I'm just trying to survive. They're trying to come up in it. They're trying to influence peers who have been, my. Can you imagine? Go back to your day. Go back to your early 20s, your late teens, your early 20s, where you're trying to find who you are. Some that are sitting in the room here today, you chose the military, and there were different things, different paths that were kind of laid out for you. It was pretty clear, like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go serve my country. I'm going to go do this. There were others who maybe chose college, whatever the scenario was. Some chose to take over mom and dad's farm, but there were positive influences. And everybody was going their own way. And there were certain eras in our history where there were, during world wars, where men were just had to go. They were being drafted into the military. They didn't have a choice. If you were 18, 19 years old, you were going. That was it. You didn't get a choice in it. But think about this generation today who is literally going against the grain. They're walking upstream. Everything that our world is telling us is okay. You got to accept this now. I drove by a church on 136 today, Brother Lindsay, that's got a sign up with a bunch of different colors on it and says, everyone's welcome here. A church. I know we know all this stuff, but sometimes it just slaps you in the face. What I'm saying is this next generation coming behind me, now we're all in it together. I'm in the same current, but I know who I am. I got to figure it out by this point. You're not going to change my mind. Think back to when you were 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 years old, and you're having to go to college, sit and listen to professors, people that are smart, tell you the way the world's going to run and how it's going to be in the future, and you got to accept this, you got to accept that. If there was ever a day and an hour that our young people need us, that this generation needs us as elders and as those who are just more experienced in life, it's now. They need our prayer. They need our covering. And I don't take this wrong. I'm not saying that they've got it worse than any other generation had it. My generation had its struggles. I had to decide for myself the direction that I was going. I'm not trying to say one's greater than another, but I'm telling you I grew up with a good moral foundation. The town I grew up in, the region I grew up in, there was a good moral foundation that was established. Like, this is the basis. This is what we live by. Where you went from there and how you lived and kind of what happened in your life, that was all kind of, you know, it was mixed depending on who your parents were. But everybody kind of lived by this moral code that is just gone today. Bulldozed it over, pushed it over, and they're trying to build a new one. And our young people are saying, hold on here. Mom and Dad built the foundation. They gave me some bricks to start building my life, start trying to put it together. Where'd the foundation go? You realize everything that has been taught and poured into me for all of my life is now being questioned at every level of our society, right down to some of my own peers. Now, Nick, is that really what the Bible says? Uh-huh. You don't believe that anymore, do you? I mean, it's 2019. I still believe it. Let's pray again right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray a covering over this generation that comes behind me, Father, who are standing in the gap, who represent a generation, Father, that's going with the flow and allowing society, allowing the spirit of this world and the kingdom of this world to influence him in a great way. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, let our lives be built upon a firm foundation. I pray, let the principles of the Word of God that have been spoken into our lives, that have been established in our lives, I pray that they would remain absolutes in the name of Jesus, unshakable in the face of adversity. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want to go back to Colossians chapter 3. I just want to share a quick thought with you before we go tonight. Brother Jared was jumping all over this scripture here. I thought he was going to go there, and he went a little further, but it all ties together. Verse 17, Colossians 3 and 17. If you have the New Living Translation, well, let's read it here first because we know this one. And we can quote this. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Can we throw it up there in the New Living Translation, please? And whatsoever you do or say, I like this version, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Every now and then, I have the privilege, the opportunity to travel and represent my company somewhere in the world. And before we go, generally somebody will pull us into a room and they give us what we have jokingly called the ambassador of PLS speech. Remember that where you go, what you wear, what you say, how you conduct yourself, you are representing me. I own this place. And I know what they're referring to, and everyone else knows what they're referring to, and they don't have to worry about me with that. But I was reading this scripture the other day, and from that perspective, I begin to look at my life. Let's look at the first thing of whatever I do. My actions, my activities. Don't get too embarrassed. Jared touched on this just briefly for a second there. I thought he was going to go a little bit further. But what I do, my actions, what I involve myself in, the activities that I involve myself in, I have to remember that I'm a representative of Jesus Christ. His Spirit resides in me. He chose me as his ambassador. The scripture literally says we are ambassadors of Christ. He gives us his authority, not our own. It's his authority that we walk in. It's his anointing that we walk in. It's his Spirit that lives within us. Somebody a few years ago wrote a song. I don't remember who it was. I want to be your hands. I want to be your feet. I want to go where you send me. The idea that we're his hands and feet in the earth, and that we're representing him. We're a representative of Christ in the earth. So everything that I do, when people see me, when they see my activities, when they see my actions, when they witness me doing things, I can either do them from a fleshly standpoint of, well, I have a right to act this way, or I have a right to do this, or I can do whatever I want, which is sometimes my fleshly attitude that I get. I'm a big boy. I can do what I want to do. And do it as a representative of Christ. Would Christ be proud to be represented in the way that you're acting right now? And then the most difficult one for me, everything I say as a representative of Christ. Now, I'm gonna start pretty elementary in this. As a father of two fairly young and one younger child, three kids under 10, I do a lot of talking. A lot of talking, a lot of instruction. And so everything that I say to them, I'm saying, Brother Tom's, as a representative to them. of the Lord Jesus. You see, they don't know Jesus. They know of Jesus. They know about him, and they're in the process of developing a relationship with him. And it's my job to lead them to him. As the leader, the spiritual leader of my home, I'm leading my children to Christ. I tell them stories. I read them the Bible. I pray with them. We have all these routines that we go through, and I'm responsible as a father to lead them to Christ. And so when I say things to them, I don't know, you make it up. You put it in your head, things you say to your kids. Are you representing Christ well? I find myself in my discipline of them. You have to discipline children. It's a requirement from the Word of God. You have to give instruction to children. You have that responsibility as a parent. If you're not instructing your child, if you're not disciplining your children, whatever that means to you, then you're in direct disobedience to the Word of God. It's in the Scripture. If you need a Bible study, I've created one. He hasn't released me to teach it yet, but when he does. But when I'm correcting them. Are you kidding me? Parker's somewhere around here, I think. He's right there. Plug your ears, buddy. We're getting ready for church tonight. We're cramming. Getting baby ready, getting everybody ready. And all of a sudden, I smell spray paint. We got the windows open. It's hot outside. Surely the neighbor's spray painting something. No. Somebody was doing a craft. And it left a golden Rust-Oleum spray paint can out. So there's a world globe in our house that will now be auctioned off on eBay. It's a 24-karat gold world globe. And when I was passing down the hall thinking, man, Mike must be spray painting something outside, and I came by the bedroom to I had a responsibility in that moment to represent Jesus Christ. Right? Because how would he deal with me and all my antics and shenanigans that I pull on a weekly basis? Right? He puts up with a lot from me. I'm human. He deals with me so kindly, so gently, so loving. Never puts more on me than I'm able to bear. Doesn't overload me, invites me, gives me an invitation to take my yoke, Nick. Learn of me, Nick. My yoke is easy. Oh, come over to Easy Street. My burden's light. Get in there and clean your room. I've told you like 25 times in the last 2 days to clean your room. I'm a representative of him. So when I say things, I'm saying them from a place of leading younger children. This is my responsibility. I don't know what yours is. This is mine. All of us here have kids at all different ages. As a representative of Christ. Now step onto my job. People who don't know Jesus. I have a coworker who's an atheist. I like to get in the ribbon contest with him about, I said something the other day. We were talking about something, how great something was. Oh, we were talking about Chick-fil-A. He's vegetarian, so he's never been to Chick-fil-A. I said, you know, the way I can describe it is it's like probably like what it's going to be like when you enter the pearly gates. I said, but you wouldn't know anything about that. He thought it was funny. But I realize that everything I say to him, anything that I say to others, who don't know Christ like I know him, or maybe haven't yet been introduced to him and don't have a personal relationship with him. I'm saying those things from the perspective, or I should be saying them from the perspective of, I'm a representative of Christ. This is my job. He's asked me to do this in the earth. He chose me to represent him. Clothed me in his holiness. Put his spirit within me. Robed me in righteousness and said, you look good. Now go on out there and represent me. Wow. That's heavy. I don't always do a great job of it. Everybody had the bracelets for a few years in the mid-90s, WWJD. What would Jesus do? That was a good, got people thinking, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus handle this? What would Jesus say? We would probably be better off in our lives. We'd be further ahead sometimes if before we responded to a situation, if before we spoke, if before we decided to repeat some rumor we heard about some dear brother or sister in Christ, that we'd ask just quickly in 6 seconds or less, what would you do, Lord? Well, I wouldn't say that. And you're my representative, so you shouldn't say it either. My parents used to tell me when it came to hanging out with kids that weren't in church and doing things, would you take Jesus with you? Would Jesus be welcome at this place y'all are going to? Well, now that you said it that way, probably not. I'm his representative. And I know we say it, I might be the only Jesus someone ever sees. We say that so loosely, but it's reality. He didn't choose to come in my generation. He chose to come 2,000 years ago, and he robed himself in flesh and was born of a woman. He came in that generation. Some of them got to see him. Some of them got to interact with him, and they didn't even receive him anyway. They didn't even believe it was him anyway. He did all kinds of miracles, signs, and wonders among them, and then he left. He said, behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So that you can be witnesses, representatives, ambassadors of me in all the world. That's the mandate. Let's stand together. Up until I read this in the New Living Translation, I always kind of had this idea, you see these people, they go around in Jesus' name, get in their car, start it in Jesus' name, like it wasn't going to start, Doing everything in Jesus' name. We pray in Jesus' name. We eat in Jesus' name. We baptize in Jesus' name. We sing in Jesus' name. We go to bed in Jesus' name. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. I love the power of the name of Jesus. I walk in the authority and the power of the name of Jesus every day. But that kind of gets you out of this. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Did I tell you what I heard about so-and-so? One kind of overrides the other. Father, in the name of Jesus, let us be representatives of you, Father, in a world that's looking for you, in a world that's searching for you. You have strategically placed each and every one of us on streets, in stores, on jobs, in neighborhoods, to represent you in this region, a region, Father, that is so far from you, that is running from you. But you have chosen each individual in this room for this day, for such a time as this, to represent you in the earth, Father, to further your kingdom and establish it in the earth. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would give us grace, Father, in everything that we do, in everything that we say, that we would bring you glory, Father, and that we would represent you in the way that you choose. In Jesus' name. Just a reminder that there won't be church here on Sunday.